you guys are going to think this is crazy. Once again, let me just get on my soapbox, talk about conspiracies. I do think Hillary Clinton probably drinks the children. I know that's weird.
You're kooky.
Listen,
what can I tell?
Listen. Wings, you would have 1,000 live viewers every time you stream, but I feel like you banned everybody. Even like the people that you really like. And I swear.
You want to be confrontational? Let's be confrontational.
Financial Guys Podcast, and he has a big channel. I can't even remember his name.
Caleb Hammer.
You know, I took a lot of his advice. I cut back a lot. I cut back on fast food a lot.
Is that the wisdom that he gave you, Boogie? If I don't eat fast food 6 times a day, I have more money. he gave me a...
hey, twice a day. It was only twice a day, God.
I'm an Iraq vet, and I got to be honest with you. I was really pissed off at you because you said that, you know, your service was for nothing.
Well, I guess they didn't do it for anything. They didn't do it. I mean, yeah, they quote unquote helped our country. Off.
The Lol Cow Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Lol Cow Live. We got a very special guest with Wings of Redemption and Boogie 2988, Mr. Prime Time Alex Stein. You came to us.
To be fair, Jordy tweeted out, you know, looking for a guest. And I commented because, listen, I'm going to be honest. The Lol Cow Podcast is the hottest podcast of 2024. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not here to kiss. But I'm a diehard Boogie fan from when he shot at Frank Castle, which I think that was Rifle, the Kyle Rittenhouse vibes. I love the Kyle Rittenhouse vibes. And Jordy, I mean, he's one of the most hated on guys on the internet, but he's unironically, Jordy, when I watch your streams, you make me laugh. When you sing the Kid Rock song, it makes me laugh. I'm just saying, so I'm a diehard fan.
Up like the 4th of a lappy drunk, I'm the papa being, I'm a good day drunk, gonna pop it up like a good day blend, make you holla for $1, that's way happy.
Of both Boogie and Jordy, and it's an honor to be here with you internet legends.
Well, it's good to have you, Alex. I'm really, really excited to get to know you a little better. I've heard you described as a right-wing comedian. Do you feel that is correct?
No, I mean, honestly, I would say I'm more like a libertarian because I think Jordy and I would agree on, we disagree on a lot, but I think we'd agree that we need socialized healthcare. I mean, our healthcare system is totally crooked. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we got to, or at least affordable healthcare. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that people are taking Ubers instead of ambulances to the hospital.
Well, I got to say, that's about as far left as I go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But other than that, I mean, I Trump's always been nice to me. I'm friends with Laura Trump, his daughter-in-law. You know, I kind of like Donald Trump, but I get why people don't like Donald Trump. He's not perfect. You know, he did some stuff to the January 6ers. And I think he should have done more for the January 6 people. And honestly, well, I mean, COVID... My mom died of COVID, guys. My mom got COVID. They gave her remdesivir, and she died during it. And that really kind of radicalized me and changed my life. And that happened, you know, originally under all the stuff that Trump put in. So, you know, I really am kind of F the system, not necessarily, you know, I think both sides are crooked.
Yeah, I think the worst thing you can say about Donald Trump is that he's a politician. And, it's the worst thing you can say about anybody. But that said, man, I'm really excited to have you on the show. The reason I mentioned that, though, is because I have noticed there is a trend of making fun of, you know, quote, end quote, right-wing comedians for not being funny. Probably the only one that I would ever really agree with is I grew up enjoying Jim Brewer quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Jim or met Jim. But
I have. Yeah, I've been on his podcast.
He's a pimp on a blimp, high on steak and lots of shrimp. He goes by Primetime Stein on Instagram and Alex Stein 99 on YouTube. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Alex Stein.
I like your intro, Mike.
Jimmy, what the heck, dude? You got me crying. I'm in here. I'm getting all sad. I'm thinking about Gabrielle. I'm thinking about New York, the guy naming your daughter. Gosh, it's a Primetime 99. This is a surreal moment. I'm finally with one of the, you know, biggest comedic legends of all time. And you got me almost in tears, Jimmy. What the heck?
And but some of the times when they cherry pick his like worst bits now, they tend to be built of like right-wing fallacies sometimes. And sometimes they're just like, that's not the funniest stuff Jim's put out for sure. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, but I mean, Goat Boy, I would say that like Jim probably doesn't love that Goat Boy, but that's like, that was some of the most legendary Saturday Night Live ever. I mean, I don't know if you can recreate that magic. So like, I feel like if we're always going to compare Jim Brewer to like Half Baked, like one of the greatest movies ever.
Is that's a great flick, man.
That's what I'm saying.
So good, yeah.
That's one of the best movies of all time. I mean, how is he going to recreate that? So he can't. So I feel like...
He's still funnier than this show. So, you know,
he's definitely
really
funnier than me.
Too much, but.
He's funnier than all of us. But okay, So I want to say this. I'm like shot out of a cannon. I'm so excited to be here, though. But I have to say, the last few episodes you guys have had, like the legendary Ethan Ralph episode where he thought he got you guys, which I thought you guys kind of burned him. Jordy, you're kind of giving him the vocabulary, an English lesson.
Oh, he's a dumb motherfucker. You just called me a stupid idiot, Ethan Ralph. So I got one question for you. What's a predicate?
A predicate is you being a...
What's a predicate?
He doesn't know what a predicate is, but he knows what it's like to be a predator.
Why would? What is that even? That's your like comeback. You is what is a predicate? A predicate is. That's your comeback. Is what is a predicate?
Okay, how about this? What's 12 times 6?
What is a predicate and what is 12 times 6?
12 times 6.
That's really your comeback. Well, I mean, 12 times 6 is obviously 72, but
okay, you don't know what a predicate is.
I do know what a predicate is, but I just don't feel like the need. I have to answer that.
You answered 72, but you didn't feel the need to answer a predicate?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, that's pretty easy if you don't, like, I mean.
If you don't do a lot of drugs and hide out in Mexico and drink yourself stupid, yeah.
But Jordy, this is what I don't understand is why wouldn't Keem give you the mod status? Like, I understand why you'd want to be modded. People are doing hate comments. I'm
because
on your
he banned,
side.
Because he banned people that are subscribing. He banned everybody.
No,
he banned
On a bad day, Jordy, you know you would. You would ban the wrong people. On a bad day. On a bad day.
Hey, before we get this, I got a Trump question for Alex before we get
yes,
to this.
Yes, yes, please. Yes.
Are you pre-ordering the January 6s?
Dude, I wish, dude. I can't afford them, dude. They're on eBay. They're $2,400. They sold out a size 13 already. The J6s are pimp, dude. I mean, they're not they're not like the freaking dad shoes or the Joe Biden, you know, Velcro shoes. But
did you see the Fox News article? Well, it wasn't an article, but like the telecast.
Yeah,
they talked about
people.
Yeah, they're going to appeal to the black vote because of the fucking gold sneakers.
Even the sneaker thing. I was on social media last night. Very interesting. As you see black support eroding from Joe Biden, this is connecting with black America because they love sneakers. They're into sneakers. They love the, you know, this is a big deal, certainly in the inner city. So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics. The culture always trumps politics. And Trump understands culture like no politician I've ever seen.
Well, as someone who exclusively wears Crocs, I have to say, those are some ugly shoes.
Okay, first of all, don't you ever say
so
that.
Bad.
Those are the most beautiful shoes ever
so
created,
bad.
Boogie. They're the most beautiful shoes ever created. Now, on a serious note, though, I honestly think it'd be good if Trump went to jail because it would help him with the African-American vote a little bit. And then if he went to jail, it would. They would empathize with him. No. And then if he went to jail and he joined like a white supremacy or Mexican gang, he could actually get some, you know what I'm saying? He can actually maybe end some
get
racial tension
tattoo.
Inside the jail. That's what I'm saying. You don't know. Trump can do a lot of good stuff. I mean, he's not always grabbing him by the pee. He can. There's some good stuff about Trump.
Well, I mean, he's about to get 4 more years to show it. So we're going to see.
100%. Like, Biden's not winning again. But that's because Biden was a president of inaction. I don't really co-sign on Biden being the worst president ever. But, like, he just did nothing. He was a wet, soggy sandwich of a president. And, like, he just led us into more war. You know, that could be logistics. That could have been the inevitability, whatever it is. But granted, I'm not saying Trump is the peanut butter and jelly sandwich for everybody's answer. What I'm saying is he didn't get us into a fucking war. Like, he stayed.
Can we
he tried
go back,
his best.
Can we
to
go back
to
the part where Alex was telling us what geniuses we were, though?
Yeah, I know. But Andy gave everybody $1,200. No, but Boogie, I was saying this. We talked a little bit about this before. It's like everybody, the Boogie documentary was great. That was a great documentary. People, you know, was there some embellishments? I think if you're watching that and you think that was all real, like, come on. So I did kind of like your Andy Kaufman.
I do.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I like that.
It's bullshit.
But listen, Tommy, listen, the best thing, everybody needs to go watch this. And Boogie said it was kind of a hatchet job. Was when you went on the other guy, the Financial Guys podcast, and he has a big channel. I can't even remember his name. But when
Caleb
you were
that
on
guy,
that,
yeah.
The thing I think I learned from the internet more than anything, I was playing, I don't know, I heard it called I'm Just a Small Bean the other day. Do you know, have you heard this, right? Growing up for me, it was, you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you? I was being Jerry Smith from Rick and Morty, if you're familiar with that character. It's a character that was intentionally pathetic in the hopes that other people wouldn't harm them. What I've learned very quickly from that, I've learned harshly, is that when you make yourself out to be a victim,
the people that like to victimize people will choose you to victimize.
I'm curious, do you find yourself throughout your life playing justification games?
Certainly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it just might be something worth escaping in the future, is just instead of trying to justify like every last thing, a reason for everything happening, reason why I did this, reason why I made this choice is because of this whole winded thing of a character I'm trying to do and all this stuff.
Well, in instead therapy, of just justification. Well, in therapy, we learn why we do things, right? I know why. Mm-hmm. During the Frank Castle situation, when a man was battering down my door, calling me the N-word and an F-A-G-O-T and all this, I didn't know why I opened that door.
Yeah.
Right? I did it because I wanted to stand up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I did it because you shouldn't be on my property.
Yeah.
I did it because this is a transgression to me.
That was the best.
Caleb Hammer,
I laughed
Caleb
the whole
Hammer.
Hour. The whole hour.
I
mean,
you know, so I said this. I said this on the podcast last time. If you're still going to get mad at me now, obviously, I think Caleb meant well. And at the end of the day, he helped me out financially and in some other ways too. But at the end of the day, you can also be a bit of an asshole while you're doing it. And I think that is the shtick. I think that is the job. I think he was being kind of a dick. And then, of course, we both got home with the agreement that we were just going to like rip each other up on Twitter with the plan of, you know, promoting the show. By the way, a lot of things on the internet are fake, in case people don't know that. You should remember that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was an experience, dude. Caleb, and because of that, I've watched a bunch of Caleb's episodes now, and he actually can be a really kind, really sweet, really wonderful person, and I think he means really well, but his bit is being... No, for real. Like, I've seen him give money to homeless people.
Only when it's convenient to Joe, when everybody's jumping on you, he jumps in the bandwagon. Really nice guy. Oh,
I knew going down there,
that's what he was going to do. You know, I took a lot of his advice. I cut back a lot. I cut back on fast food a lot. You know, I mean, you know,
Is that the wisdom that he gave you?
Explain yourself.
Boogie.
Yeah.
If I don't eat fast food six times a day, I have more money. He gave me twice a day.
It was only twice a day, guys.
Boogie. First of all, and you, Jordy, I'm sure, and I'm not trying to give you guys a lesson, but if you don't have the McDonald's app, if you don't have the participating app, whether it's Taco Bell or Wendy's, which, listen, Jordy, I'm such a big fan of yours. I've left a negative review on the Conway Wendy's. I've left a negative review saying that's how big of a fan I am, saying that they don't make my chili hot enough. But on a serious note, you can eat fast food for cheap if you have the app.
Yeah.
I feel like there's always a discount.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Arby's has dollar sliders right now. It's ridiculous. You can get up to 5 sliders a day for $1 a pop. And those buffalo ones are really good. I eat 2. Desi eats 2. Oh my God.
Those are so good. So Arby's and the curly fries. So people make fun of you for eating fast food. I love fast food. That's what I hate, these liars. Like, oh, I'm too good for McDonald's. Yes, fast food can be shitty, but at the same time, when it's hot and fresh, it's literally genetically modified to taste good. The monosodium glutamate or whatever's in it. Like, it's impossible. Unless your brain is not malfunctioning, it's impossible for it not to taste pleasurable to your taste buds, scientifically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's designed to make your body go, and then make your butthole go.
What we're about to talk about makes you realize you're on a podcast with 2 400-pound men. But I'm getting to the point with fast food that it feels not economically viable. Like, right? Because, like, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's
Without the apps.
Yeah, without the apps. Like a double quarter pounder combo runs you like $12.50. And I'm like, I'm like $2 away from being going to get a meal from Applebee's. Right, like, at what point is it? Do they step on their own toes, like with their pricing? Because like they're doubling down. It's not all inflation. Because like I used to run a restaurant and it cost me 15 cents for like a large drink.
Jordy, I've always wanted to ask you about this. So you had that restaurant that was at that gas station. Was that when you were making like millions of dollars, or that's when you were?
I've never made millions of dollars.
You're making a hut, but I'm saying that was the year when you were doing really, really well, right? Because like,
I was clearing 100K a year, too. And like I went in as a half partner with my aunt, and she took half the cost, and I took half the cost in, regardless. But
in Conway though, it was in Conway.
It was in Conway, yeah. But it's still actually still open to this day. It's called Joanne's Kitchen. But
making burgers and stuff. Like, what did y'all make? Like burgers, just
home
simple
cooking,
stuff. I mean,
home cooking. Yeah, see, like rice and gravy, fried chicken.
See, Jordy, you don't get enough credit for that. All these trolls want to talk crap. You're out there at least trying to make a business. All these guys literally just making accounts and trying to dox people.
I wanted my
and stuff
eggs
like
in
that.
Different nests. I didn't want everything in YouTube. I wanted like like make my money go in different places. So if something failed, I'd have something else to fall back on. But regardless, everything else failed, and YouTube was the only thing I had to fall back on.
Well, that's ridiculous. But, you got kicked off Twitch. That was BS. And
we had one of his trolls on the last live episode.
Oh yeah, you said Wings 007. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just shows, like, number one, what complete and utter f-ing losers these people are. Like, how incompetent and inept they actually are. They had to fumble around to, like, achieve this. Like, it was ridiculous they finally got it together. But then on top of that, just how mentally deranged and, like, unwell they are. It's so weird. It's just kind of depressing to see.
Jordy, why do you think you have trolls like that? I always kind of wonder, like, why do you think that they go against you? Because, like, even their allegations, listen, you said, like, some whatever stupid jokes on PKA, and they just harp mm-hmm. on that, and then they go on every lobby. Why do you think they garner so much, like, hate? I mean, I get hate, too, on the internet. Boogie obviously gets hate. But why do you think – I feel like you – and I'm not trying to make this – say this, make it feel bad.
Because Wings feeds the trolls, Alex. Yeah,
I know, but Wings, you get it worse than anybody, Wings.
Tommy's correct about it. It's because I always want to defend myself. Like, you might not know this, but I used to be a hardcore Republican. I used to be gun-toting.
I didn't realize that. That's funny.
And, like, the one thing that I still –
You didn't realize that? Have you looked at him?
I've watched the documentary. I still have in me is I have that – I mean –
I still have that, you know, never back down, I'm not going to be your big kind of mentality. That's that kind of Republican mentality. Like, you want to be confrontational? Let's be confrontational. And it bites me in the ass so much, because if somebody says something, I'm like, I ain't do that. And I shouldn't. I should just ignore it and let it go out. I mean, I think Woody's Gamertech said this best. He watched a hater's video, and he looked at the views and said it had 2,500 views. Like, oh, thank God, nobody's seen it. You know?
Yeah, I trust me, there's guys A-logs that make videos about me, and it makes me so happy when it only has, like, but sometimes those videos get 10,000-15,000, so it's kind of like, oh, damn.
Oh, yeah, that's when the Sean Rankin shit popped off. And, like, PKA was, like, a part of that, where, like, they kind of, like, were filtering views into them, because they would talk about them every stream for, like, a year. And it's like, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And what ended up happening then is I got the sick ones. Like, and that's just being unlucky. I don't think that's anything I'm actually doing, but you get people that are deranged and, like, they get sick. Like, kind of like Selena. Selena was, like, a singer. She had, like, her number one fan shooting her and shit like that. Like, same concept.
Yeah, because they're unironically your fans. Wait, real quick, I have to say this too, Boogie. Everybody that hates on you that knows all about you, of course there's some people that don't really keep track of you, but the people that are watching every stream and clipping it, they're unironically your biggest fan. I don't even watch my own stuff like that and clip it.
That's what I was going to say, Alex, and keep in mind, and this is right out of Keemstar's playbook, okay? He's really convinced me of this, but the people that are making those videos about you, 15K, 20K, 50K, if they're tearing into you, they're ripping you up, if they're calling you this, you're calling you that, they are putting out free advertising. In this world, everyone is hated. Everyone is hated. Mr. Beast is hated, right? And so people are going to see those hate videos, and yeah, there's going to be plenty of people who dogpile, but they are keeping your brand alive. They're keeping your name alive, and they're putting you in front of a whole new audience. And some of those people are going to find you cool, funny, interesting, whatever. And at the end of the day, hate is now just as valuable as love on the internet. It's sick and sad, but it's true. No, it's not
Boogie,
true.
Boogie, you're giving the healthy
person that shoots you.
Boogie, you're giving the healthy answer, but you know it still sucks when they're making a video about you and it says Boogie sucks or Alex Stein sucks. Like, no, that is the healthy answer. It's like, oh, well,
he'll be freaking out next time. He'll be fighting with me
because it's like, no, Jordy.
Alex, have you got, like, swatted yet?
Well, yeah, I have. I've had people come to my house. Yeah, I wasn't live. But also, Jordy, this is the thing. These people, when they do, I don't really blame you for getting mad at them, because it is annoying. And people are like, oh, why do you get mad at a person with 1,000 viewers? Those are the people that are relentless and persistent. And that can almost annoy you more than just a big account saying one off thing about you than a small account constantly attacking you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it is. It's always interesting because Jordy does have people who've made it their, at the very least, their hobby, but in some points, just their lifetime, just dedicated to trolling him is one word for it, but just like being obsessed with him. That's the reality of it. Like, who gives a shit what some morbidly obese man in Conway is doing? I don't understand the point. But these, you know, like, there's like some guy out there living in North Dakota or wherever Wings 007 is, and he's like, this is my entire personality
He's in South Carolina. I live 2 hours from him.
Wow.
I never wanted to tell that to him, because, like, I don't want him to construe that as a threat.
Well, he knows now, you did.
Well, he knows. He knows I know where he lives at.
But, Jordy, I just saw a clip. I think it was Gavin, or I forget who, was just on PKA, and they said that's a conspiracy that some of the clip channels, and I would hope that this is true, that you're in cahoots with one or two of them and getting paid on the back end, which you should. Is there any truth to that statement?
I used to be with, like, there was a Liquid Richard.
See, that's kind of fair.
Mooney and Lummox used to all pay me. And then what happened is it started a civil war. There's actually two sections of trolls in my trolling community. There's the Conway Well Watchers, and then there's the Kennel Kickers. And, and like, they hate each other, and like, because like, one wants to fuck my real life, the other guys just want to make videos for the lulz, and they kind of go back and forth fighting each other.
War.
There's a little civil war on who has the right to troll me.
So where'd they stop?
Lummox paid me like $300, and like, we had an agreement written up basically that he was using my rights, and I wouldn't do anything to him, and he was allowed to use any of my video clips and stuff like that, and he'd pay me a flat rate of $300 every month. Because he was making like $2,100 or something like that. So essentially,
but that's a good deal. I pay somebody to make clips of me. At least you're having a guy that's doing it for you. I mean, and getting paid. That's pretty good deal.
I don't go to that anymore. Because one, like, I see it now as just advertisement, and two, like, Lummox got tired of shelling out at $300, so he started like putting like blue screens and like flipping the image and like putting all this other stuff in there and watermarks. So trying to make it as transformative as possible. So
which I kind of understand. Isn't that crazy, though, how their whole ecosystem revolves around you, Jordy? That has to make you feel kind of good, too. It's like these people, that's the one thing that makes me feel good is that, like, these people, like, they have to leech off us because they don't have
He tried to shut down a Wings podcast. It was a podcast completely dedicated to Wings, and Wings tried to shut it down.
That's real talk. That wasn't a podcast. That's just a restreaming service. And I didn't try to get it shut down. Okay. I actually never tried to get that shut down.
No? You sure?
No.
Am I going to hear about it that I didn't press you hard enough on this?
They're going to say I'm lying to you. But I've showed them proof multiple times. I'll show you proof. I've never put a strike on their shit or even attempted to strike it. I don't know. Like, I don't like real talk. I think this just takes viewers from me. But at the same time, it's like I understand it. And I even made fun of Wings with that real talk shit. I got 4,600 people listening to me talk right now, and you're on my show. And you got 200 people listening to talk on your show.
They restream you as you're streaming, and then they talk over it?
Yeah. What it is all the people I kicked off. It's all the people I kicked off that can't type in my chat. They go to his chat and type and like do that, and he gets donations from them.
Well, that's
literally just stream sniping Wings.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, it's transformative because he does talk and give his opinions on things. So like, it's not really like copying my product.
I don't know. I always feel comfortable when they do that, like when it's not real time. When it's real time, that's kind of rough.
Yeah, because it siphons viewers from me.
Yeah,
it is what it is, and that's what it is. It's like the fade boogie. I mean, it's like the fade Wings channel, you know, where all the haters can just have a chat room to go to. But that is the one problem, though, and this is a real criticism, Jordy. This is the thing is, sometimes, and I ban people all the time, so I don't want to be a hypocrite, but don't you ever feel like when you over ban people, sometimes you ban somebody that is like a real fan with maybe like a series, 100%. You know, that valid criticism.
He does
you know?
It every day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I keep saying Boogie, but Wings, sorry, I can't see you. I'm saying Wings, you would have 1,000 live viewers every time you stream, but I feel like you banned everybody, even like the, you know, the people that you really like. I swear.
Every now and then somebody gets caught in the crossfire, and that sucks, but like, I give my mods impunity to ban who they feel like they need to ban. And if I were to, like, you know, start scolding people that basically spend hours of their time a week doing work for me for free, I would feel like I wouldn't have anybody that has my back when she does hit the fan and people just come in and start spamming like the word, or like spelling the word out one letter at a time and like that.
Well, all that should be instant banned, but I feel like with timeouts, I mean, at least for me, I've had where all people use bots, and I'm sure Boogie's obviously had this, you've had it, where you have to rely on your mods. I've had mods cry after a stream. They're like, we got attacked. It was so crazy. Like, people don't realize that kind of weird relationship, how a mod is somebody you have to trust, you know?
I had, I'm very lucky to have a lot of mods who volunteer for me, especially with my sporadic streaming, and they never miss a stream. It's pretty amazing. But I had a policy for years. I've been live streaming on Twitch for like 16 years or something. And I had a policy for the longest time. We only time out. 10-minute timeout, and then we let them come back. Eventually, that policy had to change because there's some real dangerous, sick motherfuckers out
there. Yeah.
And like eventually, but I do think timing out is probably the preferable way to go. But some of these people, boy, they test it. You give them that inch, they'll take the mile every time.
There's a guy that comes to my stream. He has 38 accounts banned right now. he just goes his name one, his name two, his name three. He doesn't even try to hide who he is. It's just like, how do you have this time in your day?
What's his name? What's his name?
I don't want to say his name. He's one of the hardcore trolls that tries to.
Does it start with a J?
No, it starts with an N.
Okay.
I wish we could befriend our trolls. I mean this, Jordy. I wish you could all those guys that like just try to talk crap and like they take this out of context sentence you said and be like, oh my God, it'd be totally different if they would have like caught you with some kid or something. But the fact that they call me a because I wore a women's bathing suit at a city council meeting, I'm saying it's just bull. That's just what everybody says. So it's like, obviously you're not.
So my name is Alexandria Stein, and I'm here today to call out transphobia here in Plano. I'm currently being restricted from swimming in the City of Plano Swim League against the women, even though it's clear that I reassigned my gender last week. Like, for example, do I look like a man? Obviously I'm not. This is a woman. But they're not going to let me swim and compete against the ladies because of transphobia. So what I need you guys to do is I need you to wake up. We have champions like Leah Thomas. She's an NCAA champion, the best swimmer in college today. I can't get a scholarship unless I'm able to send a recruiting tape to these colleges. So they say, oh, you have an unfair advantage, Alexandria. What looks like, does this look like an unfair advantage to y'all? Does this look like an unfair advantage? There's nothing unfair about this. I mean, look at me. I'm the same as a girl. But yet, you guys are going to let transphobia run rampant. Paige, I'm so worried. You're the city attorney. You really got to stand up and do something because, you know, that is gender bias. And I don't like gender bias. I'm on hormone therapy. So my estrogen levels are so high, they're through the roof. But you guys are going to sit here and you're not going to take me seriously. You're going to laugh at me. I'm trying to compete.
I actually tried to befriend Wings 007 one time, and what he did is he stabbed me in the back instantly. Like, because I went to him, hey, I can do this on stream, and you could spin it this way, and we both get views on both sides. And he didn't like that reality TV outlook of it, like me fabricating things on stream so he would get more clicks. Yeah, just
you know, like what our fans hate.
like I said, but I mean, there's fake on the internet. Sometimes you're making, what at the end of the day, you're making entertainment.
But the people who are entertaining don't want that. They want you.
You also need to remember, by the way, that the people that watch, that believe this kind of shit, they don't believe there's a filter. No woman on the internet ever filtered themselves. No person on the internet's ever edited themselves to look better than they actually are. Reality television is absolutely 100% real. By God, Honey Boo Boo's actually that person. They're deranged. They're just not. I'm delusional, but that's that kind of delusion that I look at them and I'm like, wow, holy fuck. That's a level of delusional that I need a bullet before I wake up that way every day, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's what they're really about. They're not like, yeah, there's nothing that's on reality TV that's real. What they don't want is you guys hiding behind, hey, it's Andy Kaufman. That's what they don't want.
Well, that's why I dropped doing it. You know, I'm done doing it. But I mean, Alex, I got a question for you, Alex. Have you gotten like a crazy, obviously you troll in person and do all this other cool shit. What's the craziest experience you've had so far?
I passed McCain. That got me in a lot of trouble because I work at The Blaze, this conservative media company, and like he tried to get me fired because Dan Crenshaw goes on some shows here. He knows some people in my network. So that was really scary, almost losing my job. But when I called AOC a big booty Latina, and she literally, she made 16 Instagram stories. Like, I was such a racist. She said I had a sweet, juicy ass, which I didn't. She totally mischaracterized what I said.
AOC, my favorite big booty Latina. I love you, AOC. You're my favorite. She wants to kill babies, but she's still beautiful. You look very beautiful in that dress. You look very sexy. Look at that booty on AOC. That's my favorite big booty Latina. I love it. My favorite AOC. Nice to meet you, AOC. Look how sexy she looks in that dress. Woo, I love it, AOC. Hot, hot, hot like a tamale.
because it was all on video. And yeah. And she just played the victim, and it made me out to be this hero. People were like, "Oh my god, he made AOC mad," and it was funny for like for 72 hours. I was a hero on the internet, you know, because only because AOC was constantly tweeting. Like she went to her Instagram and was making like stories, like, "Do you think this is harassment? How do you handle women, or how would you handle this?" And then on top of that, AOC went and said that the after I called her a big booty Latina, it was when she was going in to make a vote. Then she came out and she was so mad at the Capitol Police that she went and proceeded to say that the Capitol Police let in rioters on January 6th. That's what she said. She's like, "I believe some of the Capitol rioters were the same people that would have protected this guy calling me a big booty Latina," basically.
See this guy right there? Right there. He, when I was walking up, he said, "Hey, look at that big ass, look at that big juicy booty, this Latina, like whatever, you know, all the bunch of racist, sexist stuff."
She pointed out that it happened in front of a Capitol police officer who she says did nothing to help her.
"It's really hard and it's really sad."
AOC tweeted that she wanted to deck the guy but needed to catch a vote more than a case.
Which was like huge because there was no liberal, Democratic, you know, anybody on the Democrat side that was saying that January 6th, possibly there were some, you know, maybe agent provocateurs, as you would say, you know, it wasn't just crazy, you know, quote unquote, domestic terrorists. So, yeah, that was like the monumental thing. But I got a lot of death threats. But like death threats, you get that. I mean, people are going to say, "Oh, I'm going to find you." Like, I get that all the time. But that's not as bad as like a guy constantly reaching out to your girlfriend or, you know, that's what's annoying, or like reaching out to your sponsor, like. That is the crap that's the most annoying, you know, when it comes to...
Can I ask you some questions about, or make it, and also make a sort of statement about Eyepatch McCain?
Dan Crenshaw, yes.
I'm an Iraq vet, and I got to be honest with you, but, you know, Dan Crenshaw doesn't speak for me, and he certainly doesn't speak for every veteran. And I'm not saying he was a badass. There's no doubt about it. He was a legit badass that sacrificed a lot. But I was... really, when I saw that, I was really pissed off at you because you said that, you know, your service was for nothing.
This is, imagine me calling you out because you're a nihilist, you're a globalist. "Oh, I got a job. I work for the Blaze. I make a lot of money." "Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do, Dan. Yeah, I make a lot of money. Yeah, I'm a loser."
This is the guy who tells veterans that their service.
Yeah, because these are weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist. I'm anti-war.
I'm anti-war
because I don't believe. Did you guys find any weapons of mass destruction?
As a matter of fact, we did.
Oh, where was? Oh, what weapons of mass destruction? This guy.
You're actually going to go down this route, Alex.
Yeah, because we don't have any weapons of mass destruction.
You're looking like a fool right now.
You're telling veterans. You're the one that's giving more money to Ukraine. We have a homelessness. We have so many issues here in America. Who cares more about Ukraine? Yeah, it was. You guys' service was wasted for globalists and bankers.
You are the modern day version.
Oh, I'm the modern day version. You worry more about Ukraine than our border.
You are the modern day version.
He cares more about Ukraine than he does about America. So you're a globalist. Why don't you take care of America? You don't care. That's your problem, Dan. You don't care about America. You don't care about Texas.
Disgusting.
Do you think there's an invasion?
You used to be a comedian.
Is there an invasion on our border right now?
You used to be a comedian.
Is there an invasion on our border right now?
Maybe you should go back.
I still am a comedian. Is there an invasion on our
border? You're not very good at comedy.
Will you admit that there's an invasion on our border?
There's an invasion on our border.
Yeah, but you won't do anything about it. But why do you give $80 billion to Ukraine? Why do you give $80 billion to Ukraine?
And you know, however you want to spin it. You know, it is about the people you serve with. If it's for political reasons are wrong, and I don't think we would argue about that. I thought it was kind of f***ed up. He said it was for nothing, but when you called him Eyepatch McCain, which I thought was funny, he turned to other veterans. He's like, "Do you see what he just called me? Do you see what he called me?" It was almost like he was trying to get other veterans to beat you up, which I thought was like cringe as f***. You know,
so that's exactly what he had to do. And listen, I respect every single man.
But that was the funny part, Alex. They were like, "Yeah, it's your own problem, guy." That's what I would have thought.
Let me make this statement, Tommy. I want to say that I respect every single man, woman, even transgender that is in the uniform. But at the same time, there's a lot of transgender in our military now. A lot of them are leading. That's neither here nor there. That's a different statement.
My buddies are telling me so.
Yeah, as I'm saying, there's just a high transgender leadership in our military. That's neither here nor there. I respect them. Sure. But at the same time, I'm a conflict interventionist. When I look at the war in the Middle East and I see a million dead, you know, Muslims that died for weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist, or heroin poppy fields, you know, that conveniently when fentanyl took over, we didn't care about that, you know, heroin anymore, which is kind of
weird. It doesn't mean the individuals, and I don't know if I did, like I said, I wouldn't disagree with you, but it doesn't mean he did it for nothing.
I guess they didn't do it for anything. They didn't do, I mean, yeah, they quote unquote helped our country, but I don't know if, I don't know if that really helped the world.
That's for the politicians. That's for the politicians and the people to decide.
Yeah, but Tommy, you know, Barack Obama dropped a drone strike. He had enough drone strikes, one every 20 minutes for 8 years. I mean, if you're driving the drone and you're in Nevada, which some of the places are, or you're in wherever, I mean, do you really think you dropped the bomb on the wedding and you just high five and be like, great job, we did, we just protected Texas because we killed a bunch of people in a cave in Afghanistan?
Well, I mean, you'd have to get more detailed about
it. I hate war. I wish we didn't have to fight.
Fair enough. By the way, we're pulling the trade. Like, it does seem like I was a total, I'm probably more liberal now on this particular topic because, you know, I'm a 9/11 witness. I was ready to go. And it's not ending. It's like, you know,
Tommy, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So I'm with you. I think 9/11 was perpetrated by people within our own government. I think they had prior knowledge.
Yo, you're kooky, man. What can I tell you?
Listen,
that was Osama bin Laden.
Let me just trump you guys all. This is just open. Right. This is what they said. So this is, you guys don't have to believe me whether it's an inside job or not, but this is a factual statement. Condoleezza Rice and George Bush both said that they, and you guys probably remember hearing this, that they were warned by the FBI that there was a plan to fly planes into buildings. You guys remember hearing that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And they the official statement is that both Condoleezza Rice and George Bush, it was just a dereliction of duties, didn't take the threat serious enough, correct? We've heard that official story, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I just believe that exact story. The FBI warned them and said, hey, you don't do anything about it. That's where I go.
I wanted to give you full credit because that's what I've always believed. I've always believed they knew that it was going to happen. They had a really solid intelligence, and they refused to act on it, or at least, at the very least,
I'm not going to defend either of those two warmongers, but I do have a little more knowledge on how intelligence works in general, right? A lot of these things, and there's no, like, you're looking at it like, okay, we prioritize this, number one. This could be a string of other stuff, and you don't know.
But Tommy, it was important enough to tell
Condoleezza. It's guesswork. I'm sure Condoleezza Rice.
And do you think I don't know. Do you think George Bush? Do you think they bug George Bush through that much stuff about national security?
I think in his security. I think in his security briefing, he gets absolutely bombarded with what particular attack or what particular thing, and then they make their best guess. And this is all administrations, Democrats, on what the priority is. That's my personal experience.
Okay, Tommy, I'll give you that. But what about this? Did the government lie and tell us that they had weapons of mass destruction?
I'm telling you how it works, having a little experience with intelligence. It's throwing against the wall, and that's sticking a little, so we'll follow that up and not this.
Okay, let's just say
I'm a believer because, like, what was Bush doing when 9/11 happened? He was in a elementary school reading a book.
That you proved it.
You know, like, that seems like a setup. Like, what would be good PR? Jordy,
did you know what he was reading? The book. Look it up right now. In the book, in the words, it's like, My Pet Goat was the name of the book, and he was saying, the class before the attack, Jordy, you guys gotta watch this, I'm going crazy. The kids are learning words, and it's like, steal, kite, hit, plane. Yes, I need to pull it up. I got to pull it up. I got to pull up the share screen.
Get out of here.
No, yes.
I mean, I can.
Get ready to read all these words on this page without making a mistake. Look at the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Sound it out. Get ready.
Kite.
Sound it out. Get ready.
Kite.
What word?
Hit.
Yes, hit. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
What word?
Steal.
Yes, steal. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, play. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kit.
Yes, kit. Get ready.
Steal.
Yes, steal. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Or if you go speak your reader up from under your seat, open your book up to lesson 60 on page 153.
Get behind this conspiracy that this was
Bush. Yes, let me pull it up. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going
to
pull it up.
I gave them a reason to get to the Middle East.
I just want to make 100% clear. I'm just telling you how it works in the military, and it's not as clear cut as it is in the movies. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I am not, I'm not even against conspiracies, government conspiracies, but I know how intelligence
Why
works.
He's looking
and it's
his book
not.
Up. I want to talk about this, this AOC thing, and I'm going to hit him with this slander charge here. Because I'm looking at this dump truck and it is not very fat, and I'm disappointed.
No, it kind of looks nice. Hold on, I'm about to pull this video up. Oh my gosh,
look at
I have
AOC
it up.
Man, dude, he's looking at
like
AOC
I had to look this up, dog. Like she does not got an ass.
You didn't know she had an ass. She's a good looking broad.
She
man.
Ain't got an ass.
That's why she's in there.
She has not got an.
Oh, yeah, she got, I don't know.
Oh
that's
my
not
gosh,
I would consider her an ass, but you know, I used to date black girls. Black girls got that real thump, son.
Yeah, they do have it, but don't get up. So, Jordy, I'm on your side. Something weird happened. I think they had prior knowledge.
That looks like save face promotional type thing, right?
So the then president of the United States was well aware that thousands of people were going to die, and he's like, it, this is good for me. That's what you're saying.
That's what I personally believe.
I think Obama spied on Trump, and I do not even come close to believing that.
You don't believe like war generals look at a battle and be like, what's the necessary casualties we have to take to get this like hill?
Civilian, then they're animals, and then I'm a bad person. I served a bunch of Nazis. If that was true,
no, I'm talking about if that
is true, Alex was right. To say that to Dan Crenshaw, if what you just said was true, then it was right because that means I was helping those animals out.
Speaking about this, we got to talk about the guy who set himself on fire. I put it in the chat. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah, what the guy, hell? What?
That guy.
You didn't see it, Boogie? Yeah, guy.
His
name's
Aaron Bushnell, and it's like he like goes in front of like the Israeli embassy
in Washington D.C. Yeah. Go ahead.
And
sorry.
He has like this thermos full of like gasoline. And he like pours it on himself, and he's like struggling to get the match lit. And it takes him probably 30 seconds to get a wet match lit. And
because
like,
he was the Air Force, that's a problem.
Yeah. Like he didn't think Air about Force. Like oh, I think the what? Stupidest oh, yeah. part of this video is there's this f-ing cop that comes in from the right side telling him to get down on the ground while this.
With a gun.
Burning to death. With a gun.
He's got a gun.
he's like,
I'm kind of almost on the guy's side. He didn't know if he had a bomb or something because I saw that the video was weird. A guy's burning to death and he has a gun
that's
out.
That's true. No, that's a good point. You could have a bomb.
I mean, I'd almost have a gun out too. It'd be like, why is this guy on fire? Because why would you light yourself on fire? He was doing his protest, but
he had a bomb, why was he constantly getting closer and closer?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but still, I don't know what he's doing. The guy's on fire. I mean, I would want to be
protecting
him.
He was watching too many Vietnam movies. That's what the Tibetan monks used to do in Vietnam. They did self whatever they were.
No, I've heard of it, but I mean, do you think he helped the cause? I mean, he was.
Yes.
No,
he got one more idiot off the planet. The cause is now in the right direction.
Like, what's going to happen is you're going to have CNN talk to his parents or, like, anybody, relatives that he has, and it's gonna be hot for about a week, and then it's going to be forgotten about, and he just wasted his whole
life. It should be. For Christ's sakes, I mean, think about this, the Air Force, all right? And I'm not knocking anybody in the Air Force more than I normally would, all right? But think about this. If he was deployed, he would be doing all the same things that the Israelis are doing, yet he lights himself on fire to protest them. Get the fuck out of here.
The Israeli army
It would have made more sense if he wasn't in the military. It would have made much more sense if he wasn't in the military.
I seen a video on, I'm a total piece of shit, where, like, they broke into this, like, Palestinian guy's store. And then, like, they put him out on the floor, and it was like an 85-year-old man, and then they took turns just walking on his back, back and forth. And, like, like that shouldn't be tolerated. That should have court martials. There should be some like checks and balances.
I would agree
for
with that. But there is in the American military. Anyway, yeah,
but the Israel-Palestine conflict is so terrible. It's just so disgusting. We can't even talk about it. So I want to pivot this.
Is it worse, Alex? Is it worse than in what we did in Baghdad? Is it worse than what we did in Dresden?
I mean, it's probably going to be because I don't think Israel is going to stop until Gaza's leveled.
I mean, I'll be honest with you.
But they could level it tomorrow. They could carpet bomb it tomorrow. That's the thing I don't buy about that. They could carpet bomb it, like literally go.
Maybe they would worry about. Maybe they would worry about an international court martial.
Do they need more like political clout where they can get away with that?
I don't know. I'm a total piece of shit because I said that as soon as Israel got bombed by Palestine, they didn't actually care. They actually probably smiled and gave each other high fives because now they gave them a reason to fuck them up.
A lot of people said that. I don't want to say that because I'll get in trouble.
I will go as far as to say that two things. Number one.
Yeah, but why not? Why not say that, Alex? You're okay with George Bush killing 3,000 people to get
I have a little more evidence about that. I think, well, because George Bush.
I don't think Alex is okay with it. I don't think he's okay with
people. He didn't kill 3,000 people. It's just he had prior knowledge that Osama bin Laden wanted to fly planes and buildings. He didn't do enough to stop it. So, I mean, you know, he just messed up.
I would agree that he probably didn't do enough, but
regardless, I'm just saying, shoot somebody. Well, guys, it's common. Jordy just said it's called a false flag attack. People have been doing it. Hitler did it. People do it all the time. You basically attack yourself or you know you're going to be attacked. They said that it might have happened during Pearl Harbor, that we had prior knowledge, but they let us attack us so we could go
What started off World War One. So you start to come to the conclusion that it's just a common conspiracy theory.
The Lusitania
was the same thing. So every single time there's prior knowledge to start a war, so you start to think maybe it's just kind of an urban myth.
But why do we have war? Let me tell you this: why do we have war, guys? Because it benefits
money, resources. Money.
Exactly. That's the only reason.
I agree with that. But that's the only reason we have war. You're crazy to kill your own people.
Even the Ukrainians and Russians could come to an agreement if they weren't shooting each other. If we had to sit down and come to an agreement, we'd come to an agreement.
Agree with you there.
But instead, we have bankers, we have military industrial Boeing 737 MAX, the doors are falling off of it. Like, that's the same company that makes all this military stuff. Like, they're idiots. It's the movie Idiocracy. We're being run by idiots that are just still, you know, scamming us. But these are the top companies, Boeing, Raytheon. They're bigger than us. They're too big to fail.
Didn't they prove that the actual airplane company's engineers adjusted the bolts themselves? Like, they were trying to change the design, but they didn't use Boeing.
Yeah, but
that same
plane they had. They had to ground a bunch of Southwest Airlines flights. Their headquarters is here in Dallas, right where I live. They had to it was like 29 planes they had to ground because the software of the 737 MAX is making planes making them fall out of the sky, like literally nosedive. So they've had all kinds of issues with the 737 MAX, and like I fly all the time, and now I'm like almost scared to fly with all this weird stuff, DEI hiring, and all this weird stuff.
Well, I agree there.
It's very, and I don't care my pilot's black. I don't care about that. But there is just some weird stuff. Like, I don't think being transgender should be a qualification for my pilot. You know what I mean? I just want a pilot.
Why do you think the right makes such a big deal about transgender? It's like such a small percentage of the public.
I talk about this, Jordy. You know why? You know, you've seen this content. That's the poachers. And one of my good friends does this, Alex Rosen. And there is a lot of anti-gay rhetoric on the right. Like, for sure. I would actually say a lot of conservative voices that are in power actually want to lift gay voices. Like, I would say I don't think Donald Trump's homophobic one bit. He has gay people work for him, you know.
I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, but I'm saying there are a lot of right-wing people that are anti-gay. But, Jordy, I think what it comes down to is a lot of people were sexually abused or know somebody that was sexually abused. And sometimes that can be of where, you know, something happened to them. That's where a lot of anti-gay rhetoric, I think, starts. I think that really is a lot of
– step in here?
Yeah.
Well, Boogie can speak it because I know Boogie
I'm just saying Boogie loves to tell stories about this. Come on, Boogie, give it up.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. And I do think when we're talking about conservatives, by definition, the term conservative is maintaining the status quo, right? So the status quo for gay people wasn't great for a really long time. And so the conservative party can sometimes be traditionalists, and they want to stick to tradition. And traditionally, there wasn't a lot of openly gay people. I think there was a lot of, growing up, there was definitely some closeted gay people in my school. But absolutely, I do think if you get grown up by a gay dude, that's going to make you hate gay dudes. Like, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Can I make another argument? How about this? How about this?
I'm not saying all people that hate gay people, but also the Christianity part too. A lot of people are like, well, this is bad.
I actually agree with you, Alex. Yeah. I actually agree. But I think there's another thing. I mean, Chappelle talked about this in one of his comedy specials. Like, you know, the gays are doing pretty good in kind of the victim Olympics. They're killing it. They're getting all the gold medals. And you're seeing stuff like, you know, boys and girls basketball. That's a fact. That's happening. That's not like an illusion. It's not a false flag. It's actually happening. And the obsession with telling prepubescent kids about stuff that they really shouldn't be hearing until they're at least 13, 14 years old, when you're taking sex ed, like most kids. I think you know, like, you know, I should talk to your 8-year-old. No, you should stay away from my 8-year-old.
Well, I think to answer your question, I think that's what it really comes down to, the transgender issue, is that, you know, there was a time where, like, you wouldn't ever – there was one sexual gender reassignment clinic in America, and that was because there was a very small amount of babies were born intersex, so like a penis and vagina, where they'd have to give it gender reassignment surgery, like in the rare instance.
Sure.
But now there's a gender reassignment clinic in every state, multiple in every major city. So it's weird. Like, there is some sort of agenda now where more kids are becoming trans. And I'm not anti-gay at all. If you want to be gay, that's, you know, that's cool. But yeah, I think there's gay kids that are getting confused and they feel like they're in the wrong body. Because I've talked to people that have detransitioned. I've had them on my show and they said, oh, well, they went to a doctor and they were in California. The doctor recommended this. And then they have them on record at the Boston Children's Hospital saying, we like trans kids because we have a lifelong patient, because we have to give them hormones and potentially $175,000 gender reassignment surgery. So
that's medical. You know, that's medical in general, though.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't want to fix diabetes. That's right, Jordy, they want
to
treat it.
You're going to Mexico is just the smartest thing ever. I love that you went there. I'm about to go to Mexico and get dental work, I think. No, I'm just saying.
Well, the reason I went to Mexico was a logistics problem, because people want to say, like, oh, I was trying to steal money. I'm like, no, I need aftercare. Like, I can spend all this money on
you
American
healthcare.
You
steal $1. But don't you hate that people donate to a streamer and that then they get to pocket watch you and tell you how they spend every single dollar? Oh, my gosh. That's probably
I'll tell
one
you
of
this.
The most
my wife just had
– me.
My wife just had the same surgery I had in the States. And I would go so far as say my experience was better than hers. Like, she is a weight loss doctor at a hospital that doesn't recognize DKA, which is diabetic ketoacidosis, which is like when your blood sugar gets too high. Doesn't recognize it, and he's a weight loss doctor. We go to his clinic. He has nothing in his clinic that can actually test blood sugar. How are you be a weight loss doctor without any kind of tools to test blood sugar here?
Like, oh my God, that's horrific.
That ketoacidosis is really bad. So it's like where your body has to use what, like sugar to run off. It won't run off your own.
I don't know the technical. Like, I'm not a doctor by any means, but it kills
you. That's bad.
It kills you. Go to a coma and stuff like that. And it's
speaking
like,
of American healthcare, can I say the biggest failing about this guy lighting himself on fire is that he's alive and in the hospital right now?
Is he alive?
You know who's paying?
He died. No, he died this morning.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I saw that they ushered his to the hospital, and all I can think is the American taxpayer is going to have to pay for this motherfucker.
They spent $100,000 trying to save him, though, because they want to interview. I mean, I'm sure they spent a lot of money. But
well, it's money that's already spent.
He's
entitled to.
Well, who do you think pays
care,
for the military? You and me.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
the military would be an example of socialized medicine. And I guess you guys want that. Good luck.
I can speak on that, Tommy, because like my brother is like a Purple Heart guy and he has like PTSD.
I know, your brother's bad.
But like the reason like the military sucks so much ass is like you have to go to a certain place they tell you to go to. Like if you could take your VA benefits and go to like your primary care physician or like a doctor in your hometown.
Sounds like Europe.
I don't know anything.
Sounds like
about
Europe.
But like I'm going to say, if you could just take that and go you wouldn't have like a waiting list that's 3 months long.
What do you mean? You're Mr. London, dude.
Europe.
You know all about Europe, Jordy. What do you mean? Dude, you're a champion.
I hated
every
time with Europe.
He especially loved the food. He loved the food in England, right?
Yeah, that's why I have to make fun of you, Wings. I have to make fun of you. I saw one of your tweets when you were in London. You just landed and you tweeted a Pepsi, and I think you put like $11. And I wanted to put a hate comment. I go, you just flew all the way there. You're about to fight, and you still want to complain about the price of Pepsi, Jordan. I started dying. I was like, you still find a way to shit on this great trip, mad at the Pepsi prices.
Dude.
Do you know the tweet I'm talking about, Jordy?
Yeah. Well, pounds basically, too. It was. I went to a Subway with my wife to find something to eat, and they had Pepsi there. I'm like, Subway. I have to try Pepsi in another country.
Across the ocean, he goes to Subway.
I don't blame him. Everything's so expensive, though. I really don't. Dude, it sucks.
Like, we ate at like Greg's and Nando's and like other places as well, but like all of it sucked. Like no matter what you paid, you get
London food.
Maybe it's good.
Yeah,
I've been on the side of pond. It's going on. Oh God, it's pushing 20 years. So maybe I just know how to work the system.
Germany has good food, though. They have schnitzel and all that fried stuff.
I get that homemade thing, too.
I don't know if this is a European thing or a London thing, but London people are slobs. Like, I come from the South.
Oh, my God!
I come from the South. And, like, if you would take, like, a bucket of chicken and throw it in the street, somebody would have issues with it. Like you just I was in the Wembley area of London, and like people in the middle of the night, if you went out at night, you'd have buckets of chicken laying there, trash.
He's right.
Like it's just all over the street.
There is a chicken joint in London every 3 feet. It's like not even exaggeration. I've never seen more chicken places.
The part is there's like a trash bag on every light pole on the street. Yeah, they can't walk 5 feet to put their chicken bucket in the.
If you did that here in Germany, somebody's going to say something.
You were just mad because they wasted that chicken. You'd be honest, because I hate it. Listen, I'm not 400 pounds. I've been close to 300. I hate seeing food wasted. I'm sure you did too. You probably saw that food. You're like, what a waste.
You probably wouldn't eat. You probably ate
it. Yeah, you see that delicious chicken.
Fried chicken in London has to be almost like eating like, you know, Mary Rose.
KFC is like a delicatessen there. They love it.
KFC sucks ass.
I actually had fried chicken in London, and it was bland as fuck.
Really?
Yeah, I had it at that little bakery that was near the stadium, and like everything was just so bland. The sauce they put on it was good, but it
you
was.
You shut
like,
up, my friend. I make good chicken, my friend. Yeah, it was,
and I will say also the service, holy sh, dude. Like, I literally, somebody came and took my order, brought a glass of water, and left for 25 minutes.
Fast food joints, man. Go to
it
a
wasn't a
like
fast
a
food joint. No, it was a bakery. I was in a bakery with seating and everything.
Okay, first of all, you guys, I do want to congratulate both of y'all for boxing, getting in the ring. You know, did that help you guys with the trolls? You guys do? Because I had a fight for Misfits. And listen, you guys are a part of Misfits. They were gassing me up all week. And I got turkey dogs. I had a Muslim opponent. And I didn't want to be rude. I told his corner guy I was going to do this. The day before the weigh-ins at the press conference, I filled up the hot dog, you know, the ice bucket, the hotel ice bucket. I filled it up with turkey dogs, specifically not pork. And at the press conference, I threw a bucket of turkey dogs on my opponent.
I saw that. Yes. It was funny.
And
well, I brought you a little gift because I know you love hot dogs. So.
Here's some hot dogs for you. Wow. Yeah, here's some hot dogs, Mo. I know you love that. You love pork, right? There you go. I know you like those hot dogs, Mo. They're pretty good, aren't they?
Because he was Muslim, because it was like a British owned company that had a lot of Muslim employees and stuff, they canceled my fight, guys, and fired me 3 days before the fight. $10,000 down the drain.
Alex,
and the money I spent training.
You should have touched base with me. I would have told you. Like it worked. It's a little different over here.
You know, and Keem was sick about it. Keem was sick. I was sick. I didn't think it was that big a deal. And I even told his corner guy, I was like, these are turkey dogs. I saved the packaging. But
oh really?
Yes, and it was not his
perception.
That guy chased you. That guy chased you around the
Modine. Yes, and I'm so
he was
mad.
So funny.
And then I ended up fighting in the same Carnival of Combat with Luis Gomez. I fought his producer, which I won my fight. But people don't realize how hard it is. Now looking back, I'm sure both of you guys are happy that you did it. What would you have done different, Boogie? Would you have trained more, or what would you have done different, Boogie?
I trained it all.
Obviously, I would have definitely trained it all. But like, my road to that thing was getting back into physical therapy briefly and trying to get like fit enough to make it there.
Dude, you got in the ring.
I was just trying to like survive the trip to England.
But Jordy only hit the bag with the cameras.
Dude,
on.
But you got in the ring with wings.
I was having nightmares. I had convinced myself Boogie had this like trainer, and he was like sandbagging on camera. He didn't look as bad as he actually was. So like, oh, I would no. like literally, if you go back and look, I have like tweets where I'm like showing where like I'm getting like chafe marks on my arm,
yeah,
from, like
yeah,
clutching
yeah.
the
he
bag.
He was doing the work, like, man. Yeah.
Like I was putting in like probably 2.5 hours a day in like carrying water, punching the bag, because I wanted to get myself to 9 minutes. If I could hit the bag as hard as I can for 9 minutes, because I only had to do 9 minutes.
All right, yeah.
I wouldn't have to worry about being exhausted, but like boxing wears you the fuck out.
Oh, it does.
Yes.
Dude, I was exhausted getting to the ring.
Yeah,
I had to
just
sit
down
when I got there. Yeah,
everybody's like, why were you smiling when you were rapping out to the ring? Because I've seen Boogie's just sitting in the corner.
Yeah, Boogie, but that to be fair, awesome. Boogie, you're, I mean, it's a lot different when you're from Conway and you're like a professional Magic the Gathering player. Like, let's be real, you're not built to fight. You know, Jordy's built a little more to fight. I mean, let's be real. But you went in, you got the ring and you went toe to toe. So I, kudos, my hat goes off to you. And I mean that, I'm not even kissing. It takes a lot of.
I mean that too.
I mean, while you're kissing my. Let me go a step further. I stepped out of the ring knowing I was going to do nothing but take a beating, and I still walked in. And it was
yeah.
a good time. And
yeah, I should tell these guys, that's the one thing I won't really make fun of them on, because I think it takes a certain amount of guts to get in a ring. So I do respect them for that.
Yeah, you're trolls. You just shut up. And you took those blows. You did well. I mean, you really didn't get crushed that bad. I mean, you just didn't land any punches, but you did.
No, I will say, first – that, number one, let me say, Jordan, sorry to cut you off, but I will say that first hit rocked my world. I was really yeah. surprised by how big of a hit. Like, a mild, like, concussion from that first hit. But then for the rest of them out, they weren't as bad. I think he gassed himself on that one.
No. Like, I think you just got numb to it. But we had 16-ounce gloves on. That's why Boogie didn't get hurt worse.
I will say,
he did block a lot of your punches. I mean, Jordy, you threw all the punches. I mean, you won the fight handedly, obviously, but I'm saying he did block a lot of punches. Like, you stood up there. I thought you looked, you know, it could have been way worse. You could have got totally,
I kind of felt like walking into it, I was prepared for it, because if I can get hit by my mother with her bare knuckles when I'm 8 years old, she's 300 pounds. If I can stand up during that, then I can probably take whatever Jordy's got coming through a 16-ounce glove.
But
right?
Like, your mother probably smoked menthol cools. She didn't have a whole lot
she
of
did. Money. Yes, actually did. That was her brand. How did you know that's her brand?
That's what trailer
know.
Trash.
How the hell did
you
figure
that? That wasn't in the documentary. How did you know that, dude?
Let me let you some more life secrets, Boogie. If you have a tow truck and you drive through the trailer park, your chances of getting your go up 300%.
Why? Because people don't want their car to get repossessed. Is that why, Jordy? Is that the
that's why?
Oh my god, dude! You know all the white trash jokes. How do you even know that joke, dude? That is like a trailer park BJ joke, Jordy. You are insane. Oh my god, Jordy! But this is one thing people do make fun of you. You own your house. Like, I know we're all struggling trying to make it. I'm on the internet trying to, you know, struggle to make it, but dude, they literally react to your content. They wouldn't even survive without you. So it's crazy how, like, it's all about perspective. You know, like, as bad as you and I think it's, like, you're depressed. I know Boogie has depression issues. I have it too. But as bad as we have it sometimes, we're doing a million times better than a lot of people. A lot of people would trade, you know, places with us like that. And it's hard to have. I forget to have that gratitude. And you guys probably should have it more too.
I think a lot of people don't have it.
My meter went off. You have depression issues, Alex.
Well, not seriously. That, but I'm saying everybody has anxiety and stress. I think there is like the kind of depression where, like, you know, you have some chemical imbalance in your head, but I think everybody has self-doubt. Everybody has, they look in the mirror
of course,
some sort of like, God, I look bad or this. Like, unless you're just crazy and like you really think you're perfect, which that's a different sort of mental illness in itself. So, yeah, I don't know. I think everybody has that. Some people have it worse than others, but I would say almost every single human being has a tint of like depression and anxiety.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't call that
depression. I call that like butterflies. I wouldn't call that anxiety.
Well, I don't know, Tommy.
When you're crippled, I don't think I'm perfect by any stretch, but I mean, I don't.
Well,
really
this is why I think I have depression. Like, I lost my mom, you know, now it's almost 2 years ago.
That sucks.
But I'm saying I can sit there and cry. I can think about my mom and start crying. It's like, that's depression. I mean, I don't know what else to call
it.
Is that depression?
I don't think that's depression. That's grieving. That's grieving.
I know,
your mom died. You're a young guy. I mean, like, that sucks, dude. Well, I wouldn't think that's.
Well, like, if I don't have super duper depression, I do have anxiety, just like everybody else. I get anxious.
I mean, I think that's butterflies. I mean, can be crippled by it. Like, crippled. You can't get out of bed. You know,
but you know what would help? You know what would help? And this is for Boogie and Jordy, and you guys have had a lot of success. I would never, ever give you advice. But you know the number one thing that would help us out all, and for at least for me, is when I do take care of myself and I start dieting and exercising. Like, that is what helps me mentally more than anything, you know what I mean? But it's hard because I'm addicted to food. I'm sure you guys are too. I'm fully blown addicted to food. I have eating issues where I love to binge eat. I mean, it's my favorite thing. I like food more than I like anything else, more than drugs, more than alcohol.
What state you live in?
I live in Texas. I live in Dallas. So I know you guys are going through, but I'm just...
I'm the skinniest guy. I'm the skinniest out of all of them, and I've actually had I have a heart stint.
No, you have a stint. Yeah, see, my dad had heart issues. See, I'm the plant based pimp. Listen to this. I don't eat any meat. I'm a vegetarian, but because of that, I'm a fat vegetarian. All I do is eat pizza. I eat cheese pizza.
Fettuccine
Alfredo every night.
You know, but you realize dough is actually an animal, right?
Well, how do you figure?
That's true.
It's living. It's alive.
Dough's alive.
Well, yeah, I don't even care that much.
It's a bacteria.
Listen, I have cats and dogs.
Off.
Well, I'm fucking with you. No, for real, though. He's right, though. There is no vegetarian meal that tastes better than a steak. You can do whatever you want to have vegetables all day, bread. I don't give a shit. It's never going to taste better than a steak.
That is true, but this is why I stopped eating meat, too. It's like, first of all, I love Amber Lynn Reed. You ever watch her content? She's 600
I've been
pounds.
Trying to get her on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, should get Amber. You guys would go crazy, but I loved it because
to have Amber on.
She wants money.
She's great, but... Yeah, of course. But she used to always talk about how she was a vegetarian. And so I used to kind of look into it. So I started watching those documentaries. And for me, you guys are going to think this is crazy. Once again, let me just get on my soapbox and talk about conspiracies. I do think Hillary Clinton probably drinks the blood of children. I know that's weird. And so I think follow me. It's called adrenochrome. And Jordy's going to make fun of me after I say this. But they say that they like to drink the blood of children because it has anti-aging benefits and that you're drinking the children's adrenalized blood. Well, when cows are at the slaughterhouse and they're watching their other cow friends get murdered, when they put the spike in their head, the air gun, and it sticks a rod in their brain, they die instantly. They get adrenaline before that. So when you eat a hamburger from McDonald's, sometimes that quarter pounder that you're eating from McDonald's from the factory processing could have meat fragments from over 1,000 dead cows. That's true. I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah, but that sounds amazing.
Because
it's
delicious.
I'm going to eat the burger together. Of 1,000 cows, Alex. Yeah!
why have one? Boogie, why have one when you can have 1,000?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But Boogie, trust me. When you eat the buffalo chicken tender at Arby's, which is so delicious, the buffalo slider, I know it's so good, but that processed chicken could have the meat from 200 chickens,
literally. Literally the million chickens today.
I'm just gonna say that. Eat that. You're eating the suffering. I feel like I'm eating the suffering.
I will say,
you know, I guess I got to kind of apologize to both these guys because I did think you were a right-wing comedian.
I am right-wing comedian. I mean, I think I'm a political comedian.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
man.
People say because I call me a soy boy. I know because I don't eat meat. I know.
Yeah.
And I love cats.
No. It's not just a meat thing. It's some of your views and stuff. You're really.
I got my cat right here. They all make fun of me too.
He
looks like Rocco. Look, I think Alex is a good example of what a person should be, which he's not necessarily conservative. He's not necessarily liberal, libertarian. He's just a person. He's just himself. And like he does whatever the fuck is right for him. He's not drinking a fucking Kool-Aid. He's making his own batch of Kool-Aid.
Thank you, Boogie. I wanted to apologize to you guys because I'm the one that labeled him that.
That's the beauty of this show is getting to know somebody. And now I want to say one more thing.
Oh no, let me make this point. My Wikipedia is written by all trolls. I didn't even have it, and literally the trolls go in there and edit the Wikipedia 100% written by my troll. I have them too, not as bad as y'all. Sorry,
Alex. I do want to say, and I think this is very important. You do know what state I'm from. I've lived in Arkansas since 1995-ish, 96, and I have been born and bred in the Clinton territory. And I don't know anything about the adrenochrome. I think that's all bullshit. But the Clintons are every bit as evil as you think. I know people whose lives were touched by them that are afraid to speak about it. I have met people who walked up to me at random, like, you're from Arkansas? Do you know what the Clintons did? Yes, we all know what the Clintons did. They killed kids, dude. I don't mean like
they
to
did
drink
the kids on the tracks,
shit, but the Dixie right. Mafia real, dude. That's real.
Women said it was true. It's got to be
100%. No, Boogie, you're 100% right. They ran Arkansas, and then me and Arkansas, they supposedly had an airport where we were in Nicaragua. We were giving them guns, and they were giving us cane, and all that cane was supposedly flown into Mena, Arkansas. There's a movie about it starring Tom Cruise called American Made with Barry Seal. And so they would fly it into Arkansas, and conveniently Bill Clinton was the governor at the time, or, you know, and Hillary Clinton is running this huge law firm, and all of that money was funding all the black ops for the CIA. Like, this is all out on record. You can look up the Iran-Contra. So the Clintons have been involved in murder for hire. That's why these kids on the track, they talk about these kids that were murdered. They supposedly saw one of these drug drops.
I think he was the attorney general then. When the kids were on the track,
whatever
sure
it was, I'm just
general,
saying he was, maybe he wasn't the governor the time, but Bill Clinton's own brother Roger Clinton went to jail for cocaine, and the only reason that he didn't pardon him is because he didn't want to make it look like he was, you know, nepotism or something. But he obviously got a light sentence. But if your own brother snorting cocaine, and supposedly these girls that snorted cocaine with Roger Clinton saw Bill Clinton snort cocaine with his brother, and then Hillary Clinton is obviously doing something weird. I mean, I don't, maybe she's not drinking the blood of children. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, but I know she's killed people. It's not working, but I know she's killed people and been involved in people's deaths. Like, what is that, Vince Gill guy or Vince whoever? I forget. Norm MacDonald has a whole bit about it where he went on The View and talked about how a guy killed himself by shooting himself, but the gun's missing somehow. So, I mean, Hillary Clinton is a succubus, probably the spawn of Satan.
I got to ask with this line of conversation, what's your thoughts on the Epstein suicide?
Oh, you know he didn't. So, but dude, that's like the whole kin caboodle, because whether you're, all these people are like, oh, I'm Democrat. How can you excuse the fact that Bill Clinton was on the Lolita Express 26 times? And everybody's like, oh, Trump went there one time. First of all, maybe he did fly on the plane once, but I don't think he was at the Lolita Island, or excuse me.
Was it actually
James
called
Island.
The Lolita Express?
That's what they called
the
plane.
That's what
they called
it. Yeah.
No, but supposedly in their circles, they would call it the Lolita Express. And this is how.
Really? Oh, really? Oh, God.
This is how repugnant Jeffrey Epstein was. Jean-Luc Brunel, a guy who died under the same circumstances that Jeffrey Epstein did in prison by. He said that Jeffrey Epstein's biggest sexual conquest, and this is disgusting, this is what they say, is that Jeffrey Epstein used to brag in his circles about how Jean-Luc Brunel, this guy, he was a model scout in France, and that's where he would find these underage girls, and, you know, they would go to the Bahamas or St. James Island. But that Jeffrey Epstein used to brag about sleeping with 3 11-year-old triplet girls. That was his – they were like, what was your favorite thing? Yes. And Jean-Luc Brunel gave him that for his birthday, flew girls in. This is supposedly talked about. This is – I'm not making this up. This is totally, you know, whatever. That this is what they say that Jeffrey Epstein would talk about.
I don't
about
know. I'm not 100% convinced I think it's pot – like – I wouldn't even say likely, but
they turn off the cameras, Tommy. Why would the cameras
a little more. What I don't accept is my brother works in my brother at the time. He worked in the prison system, and he kind of showed me a way to hang yourself off your bed where if you roll off it, you can't like unroll on it. There's a way to tie it. I don't know if Jeffrey Epstein did that or not. All I'm saying is I don't think it's impossible to. But I'm leaning towards he didn't. You know?
Yeah, right.
I think it's, well, I don't think it's impossible to kill yourself in prison and not be somebody not know about it. I mean, like, I think that it could actually happen and has a million times over. There was this a Russian Canadian hockey coach that was and kids, and he figured out a way to do it in prison. So
Jerry Sandusky did it for years, the Penn State coach.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, the thing is, there are elite people that are doing weird stuff in power, and they do it to get, like, you guys. You watch James Bond, and every James Bond movie, they have like, you know, a lot of China. They always have like a sexual honeypot woman. And a lot of that's based in like true, you know, whatever CIA spy techniques where you use people in vulnerable situations with women.
Ian Fleming was a spy. So I'm
that's
sure
what I'm saying. That's a real thing. If you're a spy, you like have some sex. Because listen, imagine if you, and I'm not even, and really, Boogie, you should check me on this, but your girlfriend might be an FBI agent. How are you getting with a hot girl like that? That's the only way. You have to check yourself. If some hot girl's looking at you and you're like, why is this girl? She's probably an FBI agent or a spy. So I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, whenever, if somebody's nice to me in a bar, I'm thinking, oh, they must know me from online.
Yeah, my thought process might be she'll kill me in my sleep, but what a way to go. Let's just go. Yeah. Let's go.
No, you're definitely doing well, and all the guys are hating on you and stuff. Bookie, you got a hot girlfriend. You're living the life she likes you. I mean, you know, you can't let the haters bring you down.
No, at the end of the day, this show has taught me, if anything, number one, we've got so many wings as like dudes in here, and they've just been such shameful jokes of a person. I can't believe I ever took their criticism even remotely personally. And secondly, this show has like Tommy's put me through pure hell. Keem has put me through pure hell. Like, they have grilled me. But in the process, I've come back tougher each time. It's like wings beating the shit out of me. Now I know it can take a beating. So at the end of the day, I don't know. Like, I'm just living my best life, trying to figure out.
You know what's going on? Let me translate. They're good. They're both doing pretty good right now. That's
we're making it. Our bills are getting paid. We're making.
I look forward to my next mental collapse. I think we all do.
I know. Well, I look forward to your next.
But I look forward to it too. But Boogie, this is the worst thing you ever did, though. And I'm not even trying to be criticizing. But when you said that, I'm set for life. When you said that.
I know.
Yes. I know.
Oh,
you know
my
that,
God. Yeah, no, you have no idea. Okay, so I've told this story before on the podcast. Let me say one more time. I got divorced, and $250,000 walked out the front door. Divorce is expensive. It was not a great experience, right? And I had that remaining $250,000 left, so I took it and I invested it. And at one point, I checked my bank account, and my friends and I all went in on a point. I lost a load. One of my friends lost like $1.5 million on the Bitcoin. But we went under the Bitcoin, and I went to bed on the first night, and I was up to like $800,000 on the Bitcoin. And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna make the video. It's gonna be awesome. I'm so set. And then I woke up the next day, and I was back below my investment point.
I would be hitting the sell button. So I wouldn't even went to sleep that night. I've been trying to sell that.
I know. But our little group chat was saying, oh, we're set for life. This is going to keep going up. This coin's the new technology. This coin's the next. No, it wasn't. It's still
you ever go back and look? Yeah, you ever go back and look where it's at now?
Yeah, all the time. I'll look at it right now. I'm sure it's well below what I put in.
It's $50.
Well, I lost $7,000 on Richard Hart's coin. I forget what it's called, but I haven't invested in crypto
Why do you guys do this? You guys are smart individuals. How do you not?
I did it two years ago.
I ain't smart.
This is over 2 years ago when I invested. This is like the height of it. And my buddy's like, you got to do it. You
use the word invested. I look at it as like putting your money in a slot machine, hoping you hit the jackpot.
That's exactly what most of it is.
You don't know what that coin's going to do. You got no like optics, whatever. You can't even make an educated guess what's going to happen. If what you're putting your money into is influenced by Elon Musk tweeting, you don't put your money in it.
You're exactly right. No Jordy, no. I learned it. No, I lost $7,000.
You ever see a movie Trading Places?
Yeah.
With Eddie Murphy. Yeah. And the two rich guys explain to him what they do as far as investing and putting it here and putting it to make sure they don't lose any money. And Eddie Murphy turns because he sound like a bunch of bookies to me. And it's exactly what it really is. They're bookies with ties, you know? I mean, that's really
one thing I've learned about life is crooked.
And I just want to say this one point, Jordy. At the end of the movie, they go and try to ruin that one guy's life, and then it was all for their bet, and it was $1. You remember that at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
And then,
it was $1,
And that is literally an analogy. Like, these evil people are so powerful, they don't even give a shit about us. Like, we're worth, like, $1. They'll ruin our life for $1. Sorry, go ahead, Jordy.
There's so much crooked this world, like I'm into cars, right? So like in cars, when you go to buy a car at auction, if you see a car you want, what you want to do is you want to open the hood and you want to pull like one of the coil packs off, and you don't want anybody to see you do it, and you close the hood. So like when they start cranking it, when they go to auction it, it won't crank. So now it's a no crank situation. Now you can get the car much cheaper, and you know how to fix it. All you gotta do is replug the coil, right? This is a tactic that happens.
Jordy, I was a used car salesman before I, you know, started making content online, and I worked with associated. No, the coil pack, they always take it off, or they'll clear the code on their car that they're trying to sell. So they know every scam, Jordy. You know the car business. You know all the scams. You know the
coil pack. I know everything about the car business. Okay.
Yeah, so this is what Jordy's saying is somebody, they'll take the car will be running fine. They'll take a coil pack off, then it won't run. And then, like, they'll do it right before the auction. So the auction will be going, all these cars are running. And like, oh, that can't run. That's in the in-op lane. And then it's like, you know, a quarter of the price. But sometimes the dealer knows that, Jordy. Sometimes the dealer knows they fucked with the car if it gets too little. You know what I mean? You know? That's why, but there's all kinds of scams like that all the time.
Hey, listen, guys, I got to interrupt because we only have Alex for an hour. I know you got to be somewhere pretty soon from what I understand.
I do. Okay, let me tell you the last thing. But I want Jordy to finish his statement. I'm going to speak at the Plano City Council with my buddy Cassidy Campbell. He's a big-time YouTuber. And tonight, what I was thinking about doing is, you know where where people call two Chinese restaurants at the same time. I was just going to go to the city council on the microphone and not say anything and just call two Chinese restaurants at the same time in the microphone. good luck with that. In front of like the 100 people in the city council meeting.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea or bad idea? Boogie, you're creative.
I think it's great.
Boogie, you know how to go viral. Is that funny or not?
Dude, yeah, I think it's really funny. Yeah.
I've almost been arrested.
Freedom of speech, baby.
Freedom of speech. I sued New York City, Jordy. Yeah. I sued New York City, and they settled with me for $15,000 for cutting me off. Yes, and I'm suing Dallas County for a similar thing. They don't want to pay me, but New York did. So
I see people in HOA meetings and like city council meetings all the time get like if somebody they say something that somebody in the city council meeting that like they'll call the cops on them and like have them locked up.
Yeah, I've seen that. But Alex is actually. I know.
I'm a First Amendment auditor, so I know. So I'm doing that tonight, guys. It's an honor and privilege for letting me come on. Anything I can do to help you guys.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you for coming, man.
I hope we can collab again. Jordy, guys, know that I'm not a troll. I'm a friend of both you guys. And I want to, I'm trying to navigate this really hard online world, too. So I know what it's like. So it's, like I said,
I was kind of hoping you were a troll.
I thought when you missed me, I'm like, this guy's going to be another Ethan Ralph. Let's go.
No, I was going to be nice.
Well, you probably beat less women than Ethan Ralph.
You were.
That's what I'm saying.
You're a nice guy.
But I like you guys. Unironically, I know you do.
Yeah,
I mean, Jordy, you're funny, dude. What is it? What is the Kid Rock song? How does it start? If you just tell me the first.
Lit up like the fourth, I'm a happy drunk.
I'm wearing my hat. Wait, just sing it, please. What is it? Let me look at the
happy
words.
Drunk. Come to Papa Big Mama, because your daddy's drunk. I'm going to pump it up like a Goodyear
blimp. Like the Goodyear blimp.
For a dollar, that's the way I pimp.
Yes, dude. Oh, God. Dude, Wings, you're a legend.
Let me end this, guys. Thank you very much for being a part of LoCal Live. Thank you, all you subscribers, the guys that support us. And everything. Thank you, Alex Stein, so much for coming on here. It's been a real trip.
Alex.
You guys from Boogie, from me, from Keemstar, the whole LoCal crew, thank you very much, and good night.